What a beautiful Lord's Day evening that the Lord has given us to assemble. I realize it's a little warm in the building tonight, but it's good to be here and good to worship with you. Tonight I have chosen to speak on why I believe in the gospel of Christ. None of this lesson will be new to anyone that is here tonight. My thought is that it will be a reminder to us all when the opportunities arise to present an answer to anyone that asks us about the hope that is in us, we all can be able to do that, as was read in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. We're going to be reading a lot of scripture tonight, and it's going to be going very fast. You may not be able to follow with your Bibles. I do encourage you to try, but you may not be able to. So if you would like a copy of my lesson at the end, I can get you a copy. But anyway, I will try to go slow enough that we can all follow. I believe in many things, and among those things, I believe in the gospel of Christ. The word gospel means good news. It pertains to the good news of salvation through Christ, and it involves the proclamation of God's grace offered to us through Jesus. So in this study, we will first review why the gospel is so important, and then summarize the particulars of the gospel. So to begin with the importance of the gospel, Jesus wanted every person in the world to hear the gospel. Mark 16, 15, and 16, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, and he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." So it must therefore be important to him for everyone to hear his gospel. And if it's so important to him, it must be important to all who believe in him. So why hear? Why believe? Well, it is the power of salvation for everyone that believes. Paul described the gospel as God's power unto salvation in Romans 1 and verse 16, as Frank has read to us this evening. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And as we drop down to the next verse, in the gospel is revealed God's righteousness. So Romans 1:17 says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." So thus, he is not ashamed of the gospel, as you go back up to the 15th verse of chapter 1 in Romans, to where he says, "So, for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome." So if Paul had such convictions regarding the gospel of Christ, should we not also have that same conviction? Another importance of the gospel, it is a condemnation for those who do not obey. Peter raised the question of what of those who do not believe the gospel in 1 Peter 4:17 when he writes, "For it is time for the judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God?" Well, with that question asked, Paul reveals the answer to it in 2 Thessalonians 1:7 through 10, when he talks about vengeance and eternal destruction from God. 2 Thessalonians 1, beginning at verse 7, "To give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who have believed. For our testimony to you was believed. If the consequences of not believing the gospel is so grave, how can we not believe in the gospel? Because of what it meant to Jesus and to his apostle, and what it means to us who believe, and what it means for those who do not obey the gospel, I believe in the gospel. But what exactly is the good news? The particulars of the gospel. It contains facts to believe. Christ was crucified for our sins. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 3, he writes, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture." So we drop down to verse 4. It talks about how Christ was raised from the dead, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Also spoke about in Acts 2 and verse 32, where it says, "This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses." And then he goes on in Acts, the second chapter, down to the next verse, in verse 33 through 36, "Christ is exalted as Lord and Savior." Acts 2, verse 33 beginning, "Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you have crucified." We can also read over in the Ephesians letter, chapter 1, verses 20 and 23. But another fact to believe is that Christ is coming again. And this time it is to judge the world. Acts 17 and verse 30, "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead." I have also included in the coming of Christ and judgment, 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 9. "For after all, it is only just for God to repay the affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." So we must note that destruction comes to those who do not obey the gospel. The gospel, therefore, contains more than simple facts that we should believe. As it says in verse 8, he's going to deal out the retribution to those who do not know and for those who do not obey the gospel. The particular of the gospels include the commands to obey. We must believe the gospel concerning Jesus Christ. Mark 16 and 16, as we've noted before, "He who believes and has been baptized shall be saved. Who that disbelieves shall not. He should be condemned." Romans 1 and verse 16, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. We must confess our faith in Jesus Christ. We studied this morning in our Bible class, Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Also, Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, we talked about Philip and the eunuch this morning, to where Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he, the the eunuch answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We must repent of our sins. Each one of us has sinned. In Acts 2, 37 and 38, and now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what should we do? And Peter answered them, repent, and each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can go to the next chapter of Acts, Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. There are many more, but Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 says, therefore repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. We've also looked already at Acts 17, verses 30 and 31. We must be baptized for the remission of those sins. Acts 2 and 38, which we've already read. Acts 22 and verse 16 says there, now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Also, we've looked at Mark 16, 15 and 16. And also, sometimes many people take this one for granted and take it very lightly. We must remain faithful even to the point of death. Revelation 2 and verse 10 says, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 14 also says, take heed, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. For those who obey the gospel, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ becomes the author of eternal life. Hebrews 5 and verse 9, and having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. The particular of the gospel offers also promises. It's promised that we will have the remission of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, Acts 2:38 and Ephesians 1 and 7. In him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Also the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is to empower the Christian, Acts 2 verses 38 and 39, which we have already read about, repent and be baptized and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, for all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall save. We've also looked at Romans 15 and 13, and as Carl read, he read the Ephesian letter, chapter 3, and also verse 16. The particulars of the gospel also offers a promise of everlasting life to be received at the end. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that is because Romans 6 and verse 23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is why the gospel is truly good news. So to bring this to a conclusion, we have seen that the gospel of Christ is good news. Jesus wanted everyone to hear. The power of God of salvation to everyone who believes, and also condemnation for those who were unwilling to believe it. We saw where the gospel of Christ contains facts, commands, and promises. The facts to believe contains the message of God's love and His grace. The commands to obey are not difficult. They are not difficult works done to earn salvation, but simple acts of faith whereby we receive God's grace and mercy. And the promise to receive helps us deal with the problems of sin in our lives. So the question is, do you believe in the gospel of Christ enough to obey it to ensure the salvation of your soul? How about enough to tell others about the gospel of Christ? To the work, as Larry would say. And may we all have the same attitude as Paul did regarding the gospel of Christ in Romans 1 and verse 16, where he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also to the Greek." That is why I believe in the gospel of Christ. And I pray that you also believe in the gospel of Christ. We offer an invitation at the end of every service for anyone who is ready to accept that invitation to become a member of Christ's body. For those that are already in Christ, offers an opportunity for them to come forward, ask prayers from the congregation to be strengthened. We offer this invitation to anyone that is willing to accept it at this time, and we invite you to come as together we now stand and sing.